Black holes are so far removed from what we can see and test that they're the playground of mathematicians and theoretical physicists. This month, Stephen Hawking, the king of black hole physics, published a paper stating that black holes have hairs. To help us unpick this idea, we're joined by Dr. Andrew Ponson from University College London. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
So what is this about? I mean, hairs, like the hair on your head, are black holes hairy? What's going on?
I do occasionally wish that some of my physicist colleagues would be better at naming things. This is possibly the least useful name anyone's ever come up with. But the point is supposed to be that if you look at Einstein's theory of general relativity, which is what underlies everything that we've been talking about today about black holes, it makes a very firm prediction that everything about a single black hole, you're looking at a single black hole, it is completely summarized by just three numbers. And those three numbers are its mass, so how much stuff is in there, its charge, so, you know, if you throw something in that's got static electricity on it, it can keep that, and also its spin, how much it's spinning. And according to general relativity, that's all there is to know about a black hole, absolutely nothing else to know about it. And when we talk about hair, what we're saying is actually maybe there's complications. Every theoretical physicist knows having hair is a real nuisance. It's difficult to make it look any good. And so when we say a black hole has hair, we just mean it has sort of extra things that you need to worry about, as well as just those three numbers.
Okay, so they're not actually like a hairy hole at the middle of the universe.
No, sadly not. Sorry.
Okay, well that's shot down my ideas anyway. So how does Stephen Hawking come into this?
The whole question was originally posed by Stephen Hawking in a way, because he was, I think earlier on, Matt Middleton was mentioning Hawking radiation. That's the one mechanism we know of by which you can get rid of a black hole, that very slowly a black hole will throw off bits and pieces and then eventually it loses all its mass and it actually disappears if you wait a very, very, very long time. And that was really one of Stephen Hawking's great discoveries in theoretical physics. But he immediately realized that it poses a kind of strange question, which is that in physics, we normally think that information can't be lost. So say I chuck something into my black hole. I think earlier on, Georgia was threatening to throw herself into a black hole. So let's suppose she does that. And let's suppose she weighs, I don't know, what, 60 kilograms or something? Something like that. Then the black hole has grown by 60 kilograms. Now, equally well, we could get it to do that by throwing in a sack of potatoes that weighed 60 kilograms. And really, the black hole wouldn't then know any different because, as I was saying earlier on, it's just got these three numbers. So all that's happened is its mass has gone up a bit. Then, according to Stephen Hawking's Hawking radiation idea, later on, the black hole disappears. And somehow, all the complexity about Georgia that makes her different from a sack of potatoes has been completely lost. And that sits very uncomfortably with our normal ideas in physics that actually you can't lose information. If you have a complicated thing sitting there, you can't just get rid of all of that complexity. So this poses the question, how can it be that you lose information?
Sort of what things were, what things were like.
Exactly. Yeah. Where's it gone? And so for a long time, Stephen Hawking said, well, you know, tough, deal with it. The information's lost. It's a new law of physics.
But I love physicists.
Theoretical physicists.
Yeah. We'll just make up another equation just to explain it.
When you're stuck, you sort of have to. But he changed his mind. He said, well, maybe looking at the way things are going, looking at new ideas people have about how black holes really work, maybe somehow or other that information isn't completely lost. And now what he's saying is the information is somehow stored. And it's stored in a very subtle way so that you couldn't really look at a black hole and tell that Georgia had fallen into it. But in a very, very subtle way, on the event horizon itself is stored a very faint imprint of the fact that it was Georgia and not a sack of potatoes that fell into that black hole.
And so presumably this is the metaphorical hair, the sort of the fringe around the edge that has all this information in it.
Exactly. You've turned Georgia into hair.
But if black holes do actually record this, I mean, what does this mean for our understanding of black holes, of the universe, of the theories of physics that we have?
If you can make sense of the way that a black hole behaves without losing information, then it really points us towards the next level of understanding of black holes. And in particular, what we really want to bring in is what we call a quantum theory of gravity, combining Einstein's ideas about warping space and time with the other great development in the 20th century, which was this idea of quantum mechanics. Historically, it's been very hard to fit those things together. And perhaps as we begin to understand these very extreme objects, we'll slowly begin to understand actually how should these things fit together and what does a better theory of physics actually look like.
And sort of very briefly, obviously the theoreticians come up with all their theories and all of that kind of stuff, but to find out if that is how the universe is working, you need to test it. Can you explain how could we actually test whether this information is stored?
Oh dear, yeah, that's pretty hard. There's a reason why theoretical physicists are called theoretical physicists. You know, they really try and push the boundaries of theory forward, but don't necessarily come up with the tests. So typically the tests are a long way behind. But I mean, if you look at what's happened with black holes, it was thought that the whole idea of black holes was untestable. But now we're thinking of things like the Event Horizon Telescope. So maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Thank you very much, Andrew Ponson. And thank you also to Manda Banerjee, Shep Dolman and Matt Middleton.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and with Kat Arney.
Now, it's time to wrap up the show with our question of the week. Felicity Bedford has been looking into this question from Gaiath.